Good morning, everyone. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our wonderful Lord and Savior, risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To share the message with you this morning, I would invite you to have your, on the back side of the bulletin, I want to refer to the gospel reading and also your outline as well. A couple things that we want to look at. From our gospel text in John, we can see how Jesus met his disciples and how he deals with us. Now, this is, from our gospel text, this is the very first day of the week. It's right at the beginning of the story of his resurrection. And Jesus comes and he appears to his disciples. He says, "Peace be with you." And he shows them his hands, he shows them his side. And then he does a most amazing thing. He breathes on them and he gives them the power of sorts to forgive sin. Now, really, I want to focus on and just share with you, I have two aspects of this. The doors were locked and they were afraid. And look at what this means to us. Because Jesus comes to us just as he came to them. And he shares with us his presence. He shares with us his word of peace. Now, they were locked inside this upper room. And it's interesting to me that even though the doors are locked, didn't really matter that Jesus came in. He didn't need to knock. He didn't need to open the door. He was just simply there. Just appeared. And he's not a ghost. It's different than that. He showed them his hands and his side. And he actually, later on, his second appearance, a week later, he actually made a point of Thomas touching that and caressing that and marveling at the fact that he has a physical body. His body is different. His body is similar to ours, but it's a resurrected body. It's not quite the same. So it has some similarities in that it is definitely physical. It definitely is tangible in that sense, but it is yet different. He was just simply there, in spite of the closed doors. Now, what does this mean? What does this mean to us? Now, the fact that Jesus could just appear means that he can go places that a normal person cannot go. He can go places where a doctor cannot go. He can go places where a counselor cannot go. He can go places where your dearest and closest friend, your spouse, cannot go. He can come into those places. He can reach you at any time, in any place. Now stop and just think about this for a moment. It doesn't matter where you are, whether you're in your car, whether you are in your workplace, whether you are at home. You see, that's the message to us. He is there. He is present. It's important for us to think about that. Many times we do not. We do not realize. We're not cognizant of the fact that he is there, present with us. And that's not meant to be anything fearful. It's not meant to be anything that you should be afraid of. But it's really, really important for us to understand and for us to realize that he is present. And he does not have the limitations that we have in being present. It's not something that we can easily understand. It's not something that we can easily grasp. But it's true. And it's something that we need to be more cognizant of in our lives. We need to train ourselves. Just make it part of our existence, our understanding. Write it down, keep track of it, just realize it. Now, the second part that's important of his appearance that evening is that they were afraid. You see, they had reason to be afraid. They really, it's difficult for me, perhaps for you, to understand. It's very hard for me to relate to how afraid they were. Has anyone in here ever lived under a dictator? I don't think any of us have. Has any of us ever lived under a horrible regime? I don't want to cast dispersions on anything. We used to live in a post-apartheid country. And I talked to some friends who lived under apartheid. I do not have a box in my brain to understand the brutality, to understand the mistreatment, to understand the harshness, the fear that people lived under. And I don't have time to go into that, but it is beyond anything I can possibly imagine. Now, this would have been somewhat similar to that in that they are under a theocracy. They have their religious leaders that are basically their government that run everything. They have the power to kill you. In our gospel, in our reading from Acts, they flogged the disciples. And again, this morning, as I heard Fred read it, I was really shocked. Can you imagine that? Your city leaders bring you in because you didn't take your trash in from your curb, and they flog you. And you have no recourse. You live in fear. This is a reality. So I understand. I get the fear. It is not just anything that is abnormal. It is real. It is tangible. Now, here's the point for us. Because you had not only the apostles in that room. You had Mary Magdalene. You had Mary, the mother of Jesus. You had all the disciples. Men and women are all gathered in this room. These are the remnant. These are the people that had gathered around. Now, for us, it is important for us to understand that Jesus Christ came when they were afraid. He came to them when they needed him. When they were afraid, he appeared. He came to them when they were stressed, when they were worried, when they didn't know what to do. When they didn't have an answer or a solution for how things were going to work out, that's when he came to them. Now, I was saying that he knows, he understands, he can just be there, and he is there. It is imperative for us to see that he is there at those times in your life when you do not know how to handle it. He appears. He senses it. He knows. He understands. He wants us in our spirits, because we are spiritual creatures, born again through your baptism in Jesus Christ, the Father and the Spirit. We are spiritual creatures. He wants us to be in tune to his presence and know that he senses and understands exactly what we're going through. This is so important for us to see. And this is what he's doing here. He's coming to them when they're afraid. There's a beautiful verse from Isaiah here. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. Are you dismayed about anything? Do not be dismayed. Why? For I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. Hear those words. I will strengthen you. I will help you. He's speaking those words to you because he is in your life. He's in your life because he loves you and he cares for you and he's committed to you. You must hear those words. It's not through anything you've done. It's not through anything that you could do. He just decided on his own accord that he loves you. Do not be dismayed. He says, I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you. I will uphold you. That means He will lift you up. If you feel like you cannot stand, He says, I will uphold you with His righteous hand. Notice this, His righteous hand. It's not our righteous hand. It's His righteous hand. So this means great encouragement. This means great blessing for us. He stands in our midst. Here, he comes and He stands in the midst of them. And He does not rebuke them. He does not discourage them. He comes and He actually stands right in the company of everything that they're experiencing and everything that they're going through. There is no sin. There is no error. There is nothing that could drive His presence from you. In fact, He wants us to see that He is our healing, He is our hope, and the word that He spoke to them three times in this text is peace. He wants you to know peace. Jesus Christ is our peace. He is the one who has won this for us. He speaks these words to us. We cannot have peace on our own. If we look at this world and we see the things that are going on in the Middle East, we see the things that are going on in North Korea, we see things that are going on, these tensions all over the world, our brothers and sisters in the Middle East are suffering beyond anything we could possibly imagine. They are being targeted by people, and this is true. You can look this up, and I pray that you would, because they need our prayers. It grieves me to hear things like this, that they are being hunted down and destroyed and murdered and butchered because the cross is hated and their faith is hated. Amazing. There's not peace in this world, but Jesus Christ said He accomplished peace for us. He is our peace, Bible says. He won that peace for us. He speaks that peace to us, and by the power of His Spirit, He brings that peace into our lives, and He wants us to know there is peace between us and God. That's really what counts, right? Regardless of what this world throws at you, if you know that you have peace with God, that is such a great encouragement. You know that no matter what this world throws at you, no matter how much you mess up, no matter how much you have difficulties and issues, because fear is a reality. You know, that's probably one of the greatest things that I deal with, personally. And I'll be honest and up front. I'm afraid of so many things. Are you afraid? You know, I'm afraid of during a worship service, messing up a line. I'm dyslexic. And it's very easy for me. You'll hear me oftentimes reading. I will switch words around and I'll just do it. My brain just does it. Can't control it. And sometimes it's just a blur. It's reality. So we have fears like that. Do you have fears? I'm fearful for my kids that they're going to shipwreck their faith, that they're going to have problems or something like that. I'm fearful that I won't die well, that I will be strong in my faith. We have all these things. We have issues, all sorts of things that come against us. Well, Jesus speaks peace into those, and He says, you have peace with God. Don't worry. Oh, we need to hear this message. Jesus speaks this into our hearts. And, you know, there's something that He did. I invite you to look at the back of your bulletins here. He speaks a word to them in verse 22. And He says, and when He said this, He breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold the sins of anyone, it is withheld. I want you to hear what this piece speaks in the community that He was sharing that with. Because there were many tensions, there were many opportunities, many issues of disgust, of hatred, of bitterness between them. Some of them had denied Jesus Christ. Some of them had walked away. There was very strong tensions, I would imagine, between what they should have done, what they didn't do, and the tension to argue or the tension to be upset at one another. Listen to what Jesus says. This speaks to us. He said, if you forgive someone, if you offer that forgiveness to them, they are forgiven. Listen to that. He's speaking to them and he's saying, brothers and sisters, if you forgive Peter, if you forgive John Mark who ran away, if you forgive these other ones, you speak that to them. They are forgiven. It's done. That is a powerful message for us as community of Christ to speak God's love one to another. When we speak that love to each other and we share that and we forgive, we turn the other cheek, they're actually forgiven in heaven. God shines on that and he says, amen. I'm happy they're doing that. They're living as God's people, as God's community. Peace is among them. Peace is living in them. I am living in them, and he is pleased to dwell among us. It is a glorious and wonderful thing. And I'm sure they were puzzled at that statement, as I am oft times. It's an amazing statement, amazing power, amazing blessing that he gives us and he shares with us. And my hope and prayer is that as we grow in the power of this resurrected Christ, beautiful Savior, that we would grow in this one with another, that we would share this, we would enjoy this. And we would hear this oft in our hearts and one with another. Peace be with you. This is my peace. Be with you. In Jesus' name. Amen.